Supposed to be warm down here. It's not so warm, but it is the news, according to me. Good afternoon, I guess it is already. It's already 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a late afternoon, I guess is what it is. It is late afternoon, and that makes a difference because I don't know why. It just makes a difference. I am, as expected, it is New Year's Eve, and I am celebrating the new year at the end of this year and the beginning of a new year with my wife and the dogs and one of our cats. We have we traveled out of town, left the house on Monday afternoon. We didn't get going. We meant to leave Monday morning. Drove through the night. We didn't drive through too much of the night. We drove through a little bit of the night. We stopped at a somewhere. I think we stopped at a truck stop that they didn't. They charge for truck stop parking now, I guess, is the deal. Didn't used to do that, but now they charge for truck stop parking. So we, of course, me being the cheapskate that I am, we couldn't do that. We had to go to a. There's some free places you can park around truck stops occasionally if you kind of find a spot to snuggle in, but they even started regulating those. You can only park so deep and all this kind of stuff, and it's got to be open to whatever. There's the nice, kind, very kind lady at the, I think it was the J, I don't know, maybe it was Super K or K, whatever it was. I don't remember what it was anymore now. It wasn't Love's, I know that, but it was, she came out and told us where we could park. There's a little spot where we could pull in. So we pulled in, ran the generator a little while, ran the furnace, of course, all night long because it was very cold and brutal. The first day was probably the most ridiculous day of the entire trip. We had winds that were gusting. Now, the only good thing about it was we had a little bit of a tailwind part of the way, which kind of does help it always helps with the old gas mileage. This thing gets about 9 miles a gallon. But we had, I think it would do better if I think I need to get the tires pumped up, just bumped up a little bit. I think they might be a little bit low because they've been sitting in the cold for a while. But regardless of all that, we had about, I think it was up wind gusts up to 50 miles an hour, snowing. It was 19 degrees when we got up in the morning. I looked at my thing and said it felt like 8 below zero. And I hadn't packed anything up yet. I was still trying to get things ready to go on that. That's why it took so long to get stuff ready to go. I got home a lot later on Sunday night than I had planned, which actually turned out to be a blessing because I think my company was going to make me do some more work, but because I actually got back from Miami kind of late, they actually didn't pin it on me. They didn't make me work any later, but They would have. If I would have gotten home on time, they would have probably had something else for me to do. I wouldn't have gotten out of Chicago for a while. So we ended up as it was. The weather when I went to bed on Sunday evening, actually I think it was almost 70 degrees. It was in the 60s, I think, on Sunday at my house. I wasn't there, but by the time I got home, it was about 45, 50 degrees, something like that. It felt nice outside. I just didn't even think about, I'll just do all this stuff in the morning. How bad could it be? Got up in the morning. It's blistering cold outside and everything was frozen solid, and I couldn't hardly I wasn't sure we were even going to get the motorhome started at that point. I was concerned that we might not be able to get the thing started, and it started right up. The Jeep started, we got that hooked up, got everything done, got on the road and got out of there. We ended up filling up then later on. I was going to fill it up that morning, but I just didn't want to get out of the motorhome until we got someplace that was a little bit nicer. We ended up stopping a couple times for the dogs, of course, and that kind of thing along the way. But we got gas. Gas prices are right around $3.29, $3.30, somewhere around there, $3.50 for diesel. And got it filled up at some point, just past, I think it was just past Fort Wayne. We were a little ways down, just south of, I usually go down and take 30 all the way to 75. It's just the easiest way to do it with a motorhome, especially when you're towing. When you're towing a car, towing my Jeep, you can't back up. You can back up maybe 5 feet, then things start going weird. And it's not on a dolly or anything, of course, and it's just down the flat, all four are flat. The problem is that you can't really back up anywhere, so you have to really watch where you go, because otherwise now you've got to unhook and do all the maneuvering around and do all the stuff it takes to do everything, which is just not, you know, just not acceptable. And it's so I have to really be careful where I go with the thing. And of course, I don't drive as fast because I'm towing, and going up and down hills is a little bit more, you know, it takes a little longer to brake. All those things, you're heavier, all those things that it takes to you have to keep in mind, just because you've got a vehicle back there. So it's just one of those minor inconveniences to have be able to get someplace and then have a vehicle once you get there, which is extremely nice to have, even though it is filthy dirty right now. I can't even see out the windshield. It was last night. I had to move. Of course, we got in late last night. It was probably 10:30 when we got in. So then you have to set up camp, which is not as hard in a motorhome as it is in a tent. I'll put it that way. Trailer, anything that you've got, pretty much. That's the one big advantage of a motorhome. We just, you know, we got into where we parked the night before. Pretty much just, you know, we took the dogs out, run them around a little bit. It was cold there, and I believe we were someplace where we ended up stopping was someplace in, it might have been Kentucky, or I think it was Kentucky. Was it Kentucky? I think it was in Kentucky. And I didn't know it. There was a Buc-ee's that kind of snuck up on us, and we went past this one exit, and I noticed a Buc-ee's, and I was like, "Well, we could have stopped there." I don't think they allow overnight parking in Buc-ee's, but there are places around Buc-ee's typically to park. There's usually truck stops as well, and we could have stopped there. At least had the Buc-ee's there to go to, you know, because they're open 24/7, and we could have gone over there for, you know, anything we needed for anything. They got everything in there. It's the first time I've ever been in a Buc-ee's was on this trip. We actually planned the next fuel purchase at a Buc-ee's. And unfortunately, we were there about lunchtime, which is all the locals come in for lunch as well. And so you got this kind of thing where it was on a, and of course it was on a Tuesday. So it's holiday time right now. Everybody's traveling. So it was the one that was just north of Atlanta. That's where we stopped. And it was actually very, very busy, which makes it a little bit more difficult. You got all kinds of, you know, mostly cars, but you got motorhomes and trailers and trucks and trailers and stuff that are, you know, RVs that are moving through there. And of course, the place was just busy can be. We got the brisket sandwich. I got a brisket sandwich. My wife just got the brisket, just the brisket meat with a salad, and it was very good. I was really impressed. The prices weren't too bad. The price of gas wasn't too bad. The sign said $2.29, but when I actually went to the pump to pump it, it said $3.29, which is still decent. But I thought it was dirt cheap when I saw it on the sign. But it was something was wrong with the sign, apparently. Didn't put it out right. Or maybe I read it wrong. It said $2.29, I thought. So we got on our way then. We got in there, got out of there. It probably took a total of 2 hours. By the time we got in there, got out of there, found a place to park, all the stuff. It's not easy. They don't really have RV parking there. They've got places where you have to kind of pull in and kind of take up spots. I was able to get into I take up the whole lane in a, and I'm towing the Jeep when I'm doing the whole thing with it. Anyway, so here we are. We're in Florida. We are in the panhandle of Florida. We're just north of Gainesville, Florida, I believe, is where we are. We're just probably 150 miles south of Valdosta, something like 100 miles, maybe, I don't know, somewhere around there. We're going to be here for a few days. We're going to move to a place closer to Pensacola in a few days. And then I have to do a little trip. I have to go back to Chicago and do some things. I will be in Appleton and Green Bay to shock my system back into the cold. And then I think I'm also overnight in Fayetteville. They're in Fayetteville one day, and then I get done. I hopefully make it back here on the following, what is it, Thursday, Friday, whatever that is, Thursday, when I come back. And then we're pretty much packing up, and we're going to be heading out of here. She's going to be down here by herself for a little while, and just having a little retreat, just her and the dogs and the cat, and taking care of things. That's the plan. We'll hope that all work pans out. So the first day was rough traveling. It was just wind gusts doing crazy things. Almost blew the awning off the side of one of the awnings on the side of the RV, and it would almost blew it off. It actually banged around enough that the lock came out of the back side. I should have had it taped down or bungee tied, not bungee tied, but zip tied shut, just so that it wouldn't, there was no chance of the latch coming out. But I didn't do that because of all the cold, and I was, you know, rushing around trying to get everything done and trying to get everything packed and thrown into the Jeep. And the one nice thing about the Jeep is we can throw things in the back there with, you know, it kind of acts as a trailer, so we can throw junk in there. So I just kind of threw stuff in. I got a lot of projects I want to work on this week and got all that done. So in my cup, the next day, by the way, was very nice, very pleasant drive. It was still windy, but we were out of the snow. And that was the big thing, was there's no more snow, no drifting snow. Snow drifts were pretty bad. That was probably the worst part of it, other than the wind gusts that were crazy. Going down 30, we had a tailwind. It was kind of nice. It was kind of pleasant. It was kind of quiet in here because it was pretty much traveling about the same speed as the wind. But anyway, the rest of the trip went fairly uneventful, other than just taking time to do some things. Motorhome performed pretty well. It did a pretty good job up and down the mountains through Tennessee and that kind of thing. It was did fine. Anyway, the Jeep is filthy, and I guess you have to have a that's the ice maker in the background. We had a major issue with the slush and snow and everything. It was just the roads were just a mess. Of course the Jeep is filthy, and we have to have a washing pass. We had to get a pass to wash our vehicle here in the lot at this facility, which I don't mind. If the place is extremely well taken care of, and this place is, it's very clean, it's very well taken care of. However, if you're in a place that's not very well taken care of, it's not very clean, and they push rules like that on you, then you're like, this is crazy. So it looks like there's another wave of people coming in right now. So I think there's three. It looks like a van and two travel trailers coming in, two RVs. So it's a big gang of people. They're supposed to have a little celebration here tonight, but they're gonna drop the ball at 9 o'clock. They're gonna drop the ball at 9 o'clock because nobody wants to stay out this later. They have other plans to do something. I don't know if they're gonna, probably people gonna go to someplace else. I don't know. Oh, there's a camper van there and a couple other vehicles pulling through here. It's beautiful down here now. We woke up this morning, it was about 30 degrees here, I think. It was about 26 degrees when we got in last night. It was very cold, very bitter cold. I was trying to hook everything up and get the water hooked up, and my hands were just about to fall off. They were just about to break. After we got the all that done, got everything hooked up, furnace on, got the slide outs out. This thing, it's amazing how much more room there is in this thing when you put the slide outs out. It's like a whole different place to be. We have, the dogs are loving it. My wife is out walking the dogs right now. We're going to go on a much longer walk, I think, a little bit later. There is a boardwalk that goes across a swamp. And then, of course, on the other side of that, there's, and it's long. It's probably almost a quarter mile long, it looks like. I would say it's at least a 1,500 foot boardwalk. At least. And then there's a walking path on the other side of that that goes down along a waterway. I'm not sure how far it is. I think it's kind of a bay or something. Okay, all that out of the way, in my cup, I have a double dose of chai that I made earlier this morning. And it was basically two cups I have a much larger cup this morning. It's insulated. It's plastic. So I heated it back up again in the microwave to do the show. And in my other hand, nicotine stain. On the other hand, I have what's left of my Bucky's sweet tea. And of course, I got it in Georgia, so they know how to make sweet tea there. I still have a little bit of Bucky's sweet tea. Now, I do have some leftover sweet tea from home that is also in the refrigerator. But this was some good stuff. Brought it along, saved it for this event here, right here. So anyway, so the drinks are all there. So now that we're 13 minutes into the show. Almost 14 minutes into the show here, we'll start with our what we're talking about. As we end the year, I think it's going to be very interesting. This next year is going to be very interesting. We've got a lot of things that the Democrats are going nuts about, a lot of things that the Republicans are going to have to pull through. We're going to have an election this year, this is up in the 2026. So it's going to be very interesting, in my opinion. Tomorrow, I'm hoping to have a show a little bit earlier in the morning. And what I will do is I'm going to give my prognostication. Everybody's doing their best clips of the year, best parts of the show, best shows of the year, all that kind of stuff. I'm not really going to do that. I was going to do a wrap-up kind of thing and just talk about, what has happened throughout the year. But I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm, I may do that at the end of this week, possibly on Friday. Might do that. or I might maybe do it next week. See how that goes. But it's we'll see. We'll see how that all works out. I have I'd rather talk about what's going to happen in this year and what my opinions are about, because that is what this show is about. This show is about my opinions. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not a geopolitical expert. I'm not a politician either. But I am a guy with some opinions. And this show, of course, is not sponsored by anybody. I don't care about it being monetized. And if you want to support the show, the best thing to do is just listen to it. That's all I care about. And you can make a comment. If you want to make a comment, or ask a question that you want me to talk about and want to know what my official opinion is, the official Kevin opinion is on this thing. According to news, according to me, I would be me. The thing that you need to know is just what number to call. It's 812-379-8778. And you can call that number, or you can text that number. And if you don't have an international calling plan, if you are, you know, speaking from outside the country, you're welcome to go to google.com/voice, and you can type that number in, and you will be able to either leave a voicemail or a text message. I may read your text message, or I may play your video or your audio recording on the air if you so choose. If you tell me not to, I won't do that. But if you don't mind, I will do that. If you have no objection to that. In the meantime, the whole thing here with the fraud thing. Now, if you listen to my last show, you will know that I am very suspicious of how people come into a country like this and just all of a sudden start gaming the system without having some people on the inside of the system coaching them through it. I don't believe it can happen without assistance, without people high up, people knowing about this, people who are getting kickbacks. Now, I don't know, it may not necessarily, I'm not, any allegations that I make are simply conjecture on my part. It's not I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm just saying what the possibilities are here. But it certainly looks awfully suspicious to me that Tim Walz, who is still pushing for more money for the folks in Minneapolis, and there's a key word they're using right now. I'm going to jump right into this because what's really bothering me is the way this came out. I've heard three different Democrats of different levels of I guess you'd say governmental power within the Democrat Party use the term scapegoat. They're scapegoating. They're using the Somalis as scapegoats. I don't think they understand the meaning of the word scapegoat. When you see a concerted effort like this on behalf of people who are not in the same meetings all the time, it's just, then you have to know that there's something. Please understand, the Democrats, and Republicans probably do this too, they have talking points and they do focus groups. Behind the scenes, the media is constantly having what they call war room. War games that they play behind the scenes. They take different sides, and different people will say different. Well, this is, the Republicans would say this and this, and so how is this going to pan out? The focus group word that they came out with was scapegoat. They're using the Somalis as a scapegoat just because they're brown people. No, the Somalis are doing what they're doing because that's just what they're doing. I don't care what color they are. For some reason, and it's not just that they're Muslims, because there are Muslims in Dearborn and Muslims in other places that aren't doing this. However, I think they need to look into the particular groups of all these. I wouldn't doubt that it's not just the Somali immigrants that are doing this. There's probably other immigrants that are doing this as well. See, the Democrats would have you to believe that the only people coming across our border are these downtrodden, economically poor. They're starving to death. They're coming across the border just with some ounce of hope that they can possibly make their lives better. Just want to live a better life here. Just try to get by. They're willing to do the jobs Americans aren't willing to do. And they just want to come in here and clean our toilets and pick up our trash and pick our crops. That's all they want to do. They're just trying to survive. They can barely get by. That's what we're supposed to believe. Those are the people I think that they want to convince you that that's who's coming across the border right now, or that we're coming across the border under the Biden administration. It's just this poor little homeless people just trying to get by. They're just economic issues that they're having. Well, I got news for you. That is not necessarily the case here, what we've got coming over here. And when they do get over here, they don't want to assimilate. They're not coming here for the American dream. Many of these groups, they're not coming here for that reason. Now, I know people who've come here the legal way, who've come from South America. One of my best friends that comes from a place very far down in South America. He loves the country and what it stands for. He's actually a huge Trump supporter. He absolutely cannot stand the left and all their wackiness, their craziness. He believes in the American dream, the American possibilities of being able to go from, you can be born in this country and have nothing and end up being a billionaire in this country. You can do that in this country. Other countries, and a lot of the countries that these people are supporting, that they're all, oh, whatever country it is, or whatever flag they want to fly in this country, that they're trying to say those we're oppressing them or whatever's happening with it. All those countries, most, if you went to those countries, you wouldn't, first of all, as a visitor, you would be treated very poorly. Secondly, try to live there. Try to walk in and start asking them for government support or anything else, or even to have a voice for some of those people that are trying to talk. And they would probably either have you butchered in the street, or you would just not have the kind of, they have what they call a caste system, where you are cast into a particular role within society, and you will never get out of that role. You can't go beyond that. I mean, it's extremely rare. You know, one in a million might do something, you know, exceptional that gives them some kind of notoriety, and the powers that be, the overseers, will allow you to become one of them, possibly. But for the most part, there are, you know, serfs and oligarchs. And this country, we're nowhere near an oligarchy in this country, by the way. Now are there rich people pulling? Is it set up to benefit the rich? It absolutely is. There are some things that people do, and I'm not so sure about the morality. I'm looking into this whole thing about there's a philosophy, a financial philosophy called buy, borrow, die. And it's basically the Robert Kiyosaki, you know, way of life, rich man, poor man kind of thing. And it's the rich dad, poor dad. Sorry, the way the rich do this. And I've at first, when I first heard about it, I thought, well, nobody can do this. You can't just not just everybody can do this. And if everybody did this, it wouldn't work. However, I'm looking at it in terms of, you know, it's one way to the reason that there's generational wealth. Most of the people who are the Carnegies and everybody of the world, the reason they're able to pass down their generational wealth is because they use this principle. And now I'm trying to, my wife and I are trying to set up this foundation where what we have, we don't have children, so we have a foundation that might be able to pass down what we have acquired and what we have, you know, what we've invested in, the things we've invested in. Pass those things on to the next generation of people that have the same interests that we do and that kind of thing. Now, one of the things that I think is kind of, there's some people that, we looked at, my wife sent me this article the other day about Mr. Hershey, the guy, if you've ever heard of Hershey Chocolate in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Guy has a city named after him and has a major multi-billion dollar chocolate company. And he set up this foundation. He did something that I thought was very fascinating, very, very intriguing. He takes care of a lot of children. The Hershey Foundation is huge in terms of the numbers of basically misfits and orphans that they take in, and they've changed. Well, if you look at the compounding affects probably millions of people's lives. But it's just interesting how how he, you don't know that about the guy. That's not what you hear about when you hear about the Hershey company, you know, chocolate company. Very fascinating. Stories like that are very inspiring, and I think very interesting how that works out. But it's at the same time, that's kind of what we're aiming for, is to be able to do something like that. Now, not to that level, of course. I'm not going to have a city named after me, and I'm not going to have. There's a road that's got my last name on it, but I don't think that was anything to do with my family. But anyway, they have the interesting stuff that goes on with all that, and it's just it's the opposite of what these people are doing with all this fraud. Now there's fraud on top of fraud, and now what they're finding out is this may be the tip of the iceberg, and this may start a whole domino effect, because all around the country now they are finding the same kind of pattern in almost every single settlement where they have placed all these Somalis. They're doing the same thing. Now, this could go even deeper. This could go to the Biden administration, the White House. It could even go to the Obama administration when things were actually starting to kind of ramp up. This didn't really accelerate until about just before COVID. But the interesting thing is they're using the same buzzwords. They're all saying, well, you know, we didn't have the guardrails in place that we did before. They're all giving that same answer. Ilhan Omar, Tim Walz, they all gave the same answer. Well, you know, all this money was flowing from COVID, and we didn't have the guardrails up to watch for fraud. Well, it's interesting that it was just only in certain areas, only with certain people groups. Well, there was fraud all over, but it was we're talking billions of dollars here, billions of dollars. And, you know, of course, the question is, where did that money go? And they're talking about having some kind of accountability with regard to going after the people who were in charge of those things. I believe there needs to be a complete audit of this money. They need to follow the money trail all the way to the end and see where it ended up. Because I believe there's a whole lot of corruption under the belly of this thing. And I think it just needs to be looked at with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, when you look at all the stuff that Doge was getting done, and now we have the, you know, on the other side of this whole thing, we have just this one particular fraud thing going on. This goes, Feeding the Future was one of the big problems they had, and they've known about this for about 10 years, I guess. This whole fraud thing with the daycare centers, the restaurants connected to the grocery stores and the healthcare facilities, all in one particular place. They'll have a building with multiple healthcare facilities that they don't do any healthcare in. Daycare centers that have no children. Well, now all of a sudden there's children showing up to some of these daycare centers, which is kind of weird. Of course, now they're calling Nick Shirley. He's a racist. He's a racist. He's a white supremacist. Because he's going after them, because they're using the Somalis as scapegoats. A scapegoat is when you blame someone else for doing something. Let's say you're in an organization, and that organization's doing something nefarious, and the people at the top know all about it. In fact, they've kind of been in charge of it. They've been making it happen. And all of a sudden, people are starting to get caught. So the people at the top say, "Oh, it was those people." This is exactly what Tim Walz is doing. He's saying, "Well, we're putting those people in jail. We arrested 80 people. 80 people. They're going to jail." Now I don't know if any of those people are going to sing or not. If they've got any connections with the Tim Walz campaign or the Kamala Harris campaign, which they probably do. A whole lot of money flowing. She had almost $1 billion that she spent in her campaign. About half that spent by President Trump, and he still won handily, by the way, no matter what the media is saying. Just an interesting time, I think, in terms of what's happening out there. And I'm going to kind of unravel how I see things happening this year. Now, I'm not very hopeful that anybody's going to go to jail. Anybody high profile is going to go to jail. Maybe they will. I don't know. I don't think they will. But we'll have to find out. In the meantime, folks, I want to thank you for a good year of shows. I think we're now on like episode 1078 or 88 or something like that. So we're way up there in our episodes. I just want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting me with your listens, with your ears throughout the last year. And have a good year to look forward to. Folks, thanks again. God bless. Have a rich and wonderful Happy New Year. And I want to thank you all again. Take care. I will see you next year.